Chocolate covered candy hearts to give away. No first spring, no song to sing. In fact, it's just another ordinary day. I just called to say, I love you. I just called to say how much I care. I just called to say, I love you, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Yeah, those are the words from a song from the 80s. It was on the top of the charts in 1984. Don't look now, but that's more than 40 years ago now. That's Stevie Wonder's I Just Called to Say I Love You. And it's just so catchy. I've been like singing that the last few days. I just called to say I love you. Get it out of my head. It's not only is it catchy, but the meaning of it is just so simple. You know? Like, it's just, like, I want you to know, for no special reason at all, that I love you. I don't need a special occasion, I don't need a holiday, I don't need a wedding, I don't need a birthday. I just wanted to pick up the phone and tell you, I love you. How sweet. Would you believe that there was a study done, partially inspired by that song, to see how often couples say, I love you to one another, for no very special reason? Of course there was, because there's a study for everything. If you Google it, you can find it. So, in this particular study, they just wanted to see how often couples say, I love you, what percentage of couples say it, daily basis. For relationships that are 5 years old or under, 50% of respondents said that they said I love you to each other at least once every single day. And then once you get to the 10-year mark, that's when it goes down from 50% to 30%. For relationships that are 50 years old or more, that number goes down to 10%. I don't want to start any fights here. I just imagine elbows being thrown with pews. We don't need to do any of that. I think it's obvious, even as a relationship matures and grows, maybe even if it's statistically not the case that couples will still say, I love you every single day. Obviously, that feeling is still there. It maybe just expressed in different ways or something like that. So you don't have to actually say it in order to know. So today might not be a special occasion. We actually do have something special to celebrate here in the church. We are calling this baptism of our Lord Sunday, sort of. Actually, technically, we were supposed to be talking about this last Sunday. We're kind of getting back on track with the church year calendar because we got all mixed up when we didn't have church the first Sunday of this month. And so we're calling it baptism of our Lord Sunday today. Are looking at things that took place at the very beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. And I would like to suggest to you that when Jesus is baptized, that's one way that God was called to save. He loves us. We have to hear this gospel reading from Luke chapter 3. We get to picture once again this amazing image of Jesus standing out there in the Jordan River. And John the Baptist is there, and he washes Jesus with water, right? And then there's this amazing things happen. You have the Holy Spirit bodily descending upon Jesus like a dove, and kind of trying to picture what that must have looked like. And then, of course, imagining what it would feel like to hear the booming voice of God the Father out of the clouds, who says, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." And keep in mind, this would have been not expected by any of the people standing around. This was actually the very first moment since Jesus' childhood where now the Lord is revealing to the world who this really is. That he is the Son of God, that he is the one who has come to save the world. For everybody who had gathered around that day, they would not have been expecting something so out of put it for us, they saw everything take place, and they heard everything take place, and clearly, by saying, you are my beloved son, well, God just called to say, he loves Jesus. But we know that it's more than just Jesus that loves. We have the benefit of knowing how the rest of the story unfolds. We know why the Father sent the Son in the first place. That one of the things that makes the Father love the Son is because the Son was sent to restore the Father's relationship with you and with me. That Jesus is the one who has brought back to the Lord the apple of his eye. Scripture is actually pretty clear about this, that we are the object of God's affection. That we are the love of his life. We are the ones that he was willing to give up everything for. So God is called to say, he loves us. And it's not just any kind of love. It's the love that we, the church, and certainly as we read in Scripture, we call this steadfast. And with all of that kind of in our minds, we also have this opportunity to turn our attention once again to what's written in our Old Testament reading, which I think reveals even more about God's personal feelings for us. This passage in Isaiah chapter 43 is so powerful, but at the same time, it's so personal. Here these words are words of comfort, they are words of protection and security. Those poorly made are words of so in verse 1, God says to the people of Israel, I have called you by name. You are mine. It sounds wonderful, because it is wonderful. But some of you might know, if you've studied the book of Isaiah before, you might know that the original people heard these words that Isaiah was saying to them. They were going through a time that was not so wonderful. They were hearing the words of Isaiah's prophecies at a time that it was not exactly the best. There was terror and threats and danger on all sides, and many people within Israel were living these terrible lives, these horrible lives of disobedience and idolatry and evil. The Babylonians were about to come and take all of these Israelites, and many of them, into exile, take them away from their homes, away from their families, as if that weren't bad enough. They would also be separated from the temple. They'd be separated from the place where God was on the earth. This was an awful, awful thing. It was tough to live in those times. And it was about to get tougher. And you can imagine that the realm in Israel was kind of low. It's more and more bad things happening to the people of Israel. Self-esteem of a once very prideful nation was going down the drain. The Babylonians were pretty successful in convincing the Israelites that they were worthless, that their God must not be powerful enough to save them, or maybe if he is, he just doesn't care enough about them in order to even bother trying. So they walked with their heads hung low and lamented over the good things that they lost and were about to lose. They often cried out to God in anger and frustration, wondering if they would ever be loved by him ever again. The answer that they get is, they have called you by name. It's pretty amazing. I mean, I know we could never possibly what it would feel like to be under the constant threat of Babylonian invasion. But I do think it is possible for us in some way to relate to the kinds of feelings that the Israelites have had toward the Lord. It's human nature for us to doubt the relationship that we have with God. It's also human nature for us to think or to hope that if we are going to have God's affection, it means that we've got to earn it somehow. We've got to do the things that are going to get God's also show up. So if the church graciously and generously gives, not just here, but elsewhere, we got to live on the right track. That's what we think. If we compare ourselves to all these other people that we know, we say, well, they don't care about their relationship with God, so clearly he's going to really love me because I am so dedicated. If that's the case, how come everything isn't as good as it could be? How come everything doesn't turn out perfectly for us? But if God really loves us, after all, shouldn't life be a lot easier for us? And yet bad things still happen. People that we care about get sick. Just like every other time we gather together here, God. come out of familiarity we have the relationship with him as we grow in our faith. But that would make us not want to hear those words in your words, make us hesitate to say it back to him. In worship, it's always like we're singing divine love song. It's actually more like a duet. When God starts it, and then we respond, he sings to us that he loves us. We sing that we love him too. And it happens that way over and over and over again. We always know where we stand with the Lord. Because when God calls to say, he loves you, he uses it. Thank you. watch over those who serve in the middle of this, especially when it's Daniel, Rep, Jeff, Chase, Clinton, Isaac, Patty, Austin, Ward, Joyce, Tayson, Shaylin, and Clark. Lord, have you mercy. We give you thanks for standing with us in times of weakness, illness, despair, and death. Give us every need of your Holy Spirit that we may endure these afflictions and find comfort in the healing wounds from the Savior. We especially remember all of our honorariness this day, including those who are in care facilities, Greta, Julia, Dennis, Jude, Charles, and Penny. And also, Lord, we lift before you those with ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Thomas, Richard, Donna, Don, Jim, Marvin, Amy, Ronnie, Francie, Greg, Tina, Christy, Brent, Jeff, Nancy, Virgil, and all those who are facing cancer. Grant healing and relief according to your will, Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you manifested yourself with the Holy Spirit in the fullness of grace in the baptism of your dear Son. With your voice, you directed us to the one who has borne our sins, that we may receive grace and forgiveness. Keep us, we implore you, in the true faith, we have been baptized in accordance with your command and the example of your Son. Strengthen our faith by your Holy Spirit and lead us to everlasting life and salvation through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. This time, we invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord in our time. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. You may be seated. And I'm closing in with number 605, Father Bones. Thank you. so I have a bunch of things that I want to share about that. I want to respond to that. First of all, I want to bring this all positively. What a blessing it is that we have so many things going on around here in our church, in our school, that the Lord blesses us in such a way that we can lots of things to talk about Sunday after Sunday. I think that is just a wonderful thing. And it is often a struggle for me to decide which announcements to talk about and which ones not to, because we don't want to read the bulletin to you. But of course, there are a number of people who are not able to read the bulletins. Anybody who's watching this at home and not have a bulletin in front of them, even I might be able to provide extra context or maybe make reference to something that's in the bulletin. And so I like to have this time to be able to make these announcements. So here's the new thing we're going to talk about. Okay? Starting today, I am implementing what I'm going to call the Trinity Top 3. So I'm going to decide what are the three things that I think you need to know coming up in Trinity. And I hear promise is always going to be exactly three. There might be some things where I have to do four or something like that, but I'm going to try to keep it to three. Which means you are responsible for reading the rest of the bulletin. Okay? But here is my Trinity top three for this week. Number one, we have youth night tonight. So we want to invite all of our YPS in Club 58. To come and join us 6 o'clock this evening over the school. We hope to see you. Number two, there is no school tomorrow because tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Our school and church office will also be closed. Please feel free to contact me if there are any pastoral issues, but the rest of us will not be in the office until Tuesday. And finally, number three, please mark your calendar for next Sunday, January 26th at 1 o'clock. That will be our annual voters meeting. And so we hope all of our voters will come to hear reports. We're also going to have elections for those who will serve on boards in this upcoming year, new officers. So please, please, please come to our meeting next Sunday at 1 o'clock. And those of you who are currently serving on boards, those people are already officers. We have an agenda meeting to prepare for that meeting. That will be this Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Okay, so agenda Tuesday and voters meeting next Monday. Okay, that's my three. Anybody else feel like they need to make an announcement? Time is up. Alright. See you later. Go to peace. Serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us for church today. Have a blessed week.